League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the debutante voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are we?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad at all. We're talking debutantes this week because there was a big debut in the Premier League. But before we get to that, I thought we could maybe ask you, we've spoken about your actual professional debut many times before. I think Ray Lewington was the manager, right? Your dad knew, you didn't know, you went out the night before or something, smashed it in, weren't in the best of state for the game, but did yourself well. Let's talk about your Premier League debut instead.
Yeah, okay. By the way, didn't go out the night before. It wasn't technically the night before, but yes, the weekend, the Saturday night, game on the Tuesday. Anyway, Premier League debut was Manchester United, as it goes. Watford at home to Manchester United, and it was an interesting one for the fact that obviously Ben Foster on loan, there's a big story that sits behind it, effectively started the season as fourth choice, managed to get myself onto the bench. So as soon as I was on the bench for the first Premier League game, I kind of knew that obviously Ben couldn't play against Man United, so the likelihood was that I would be playing in the game against Man United. So I did have a bit of time to build up to it. And I suppose my memory from it, like, I remember the game. I remember the fact that I think it was Silvestre smashed one past me, and then we equalised. We should have gone 2-1 ahead. Darius Henderson, unbelievable chance, wasn't able to take it. And then towards the end, Mr. Giggs went round me and put it into an empty net. But I do remember getting man of the match, for what it's worth. But I kind of feel like that period of time was where we just made the Premier League, and you know what it's like for the clubs that then come up to the Premier League. There's so much excitement around the place, and Watford, certainly the season before, there was no expectation of promotion. I think it was one of the favourites for relegation from memory, and obviously promotion to the Premier League. So it was just a really nice feeling, and I remember being in, probably 25, 26 at the time, sort of feeling in good form, and had a decent enough game. Thank you, Matthew.
What was your state of mind leading into it? Were there, you know, were you nervous? Were there any kind of nerves? Was there angst of any type? Was there a feeling that this is a Premier League game and it's more of a showpiece than, I don't know, what you'd competed before in the EFL? Or was it just pure excitement that you're about to step onto the grandest stage and that this is what you've been building towards since you strapped on a pair of gloves?
Oh, I was absolutely nervous for every single game I ever played. So yeah, I was definitely nervous. I think, do you know what though? I think that season, the slight difference was, I go back to that feeling around the place, and also I think where I'd gone from like fourth choice to second choice early on and managed to get myself sort of back on the bench and back involved, there was a feeling of, I felt like I had some momentum. You know, I had a lot of pre-season games. Remember we played Inter Milan, actually, one of the pre-season games, and had a really good game against then. So I remember just feeling at that time, it's probably when I look back with all the injuries I had towards the end of my career, that was where I was maybe in my peak, in that the injuries weren't too bad. You know, I felt strong, powerful, and I felt probably as ready as I ever was during my career. So it's weird that I look back, I only played, I think it was 11 Premier League games, but the ones I remember for being really, really nervous for were at different times. None of those games I remember feeling really nervous for. It was more excitement, whereas it was maybe when I had the injuries, or, you know, I think I mentioned to you where I struggled a bit with insomnia for a while and whatever else. It was more those games where I remember feeling incredibly nervous before. I think the Premier League as well, where we were the underdogs in every single game, it's a slightly different feeling going into it, in that the expectation level was that much lower. And again, all goalkeepers are different, but I fed off that to an extent that it was, okay, we're not necessarily expected to win this. So if we go out, put on a performance, get a win, then of course it meant that much more to the fans, the people around the place. So yeah, from memory, I probably wasn't quite as nervous for the Premier League game, surprisingly.
A nice, pleasant start to the show. A bit of background on Richard Lee.
There you go.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, so speaking of debutantes, Tottenham 1, Newcastle 2, and Brandon Austin Richard. Now, last week, I think, well, it wasn't last week, it was the last pod that we did just before Christmas. We mentioned the term "everything comes to he who waits" when we were referring to Jamal Blackman. Well, we can say the same for Brandon Austin. More than, what, 17 odd years that he's been in the building at Spurs. He turns 26 tomorrow, incidentally. He was chosen for the game against Newcastle. Perhaps that was due to injuries and illness to Vicario and Forster. However, he took his opportunity and, safe to say, he looked like he belonged in that game. He took to the Premier League like a duck to water. It was lovely to see.
Yeah, really pleased for him. On a personal note, because Brandon's someone that I've known for a long time, it was interesting because we had a few messages after the game and he reminded me something that I'd completely forgotten about. But when he was very young, I remember his mum made contact and, you know, in regards to how he was progressing at Tottenham and he'd love a bit of advice. And I actually then scrolled back. I found some emails from about 10 years ago where I used to send the emails to his mum and then Brandon would respond from his mum's account. And we kind of like were pen pals for like a couple of years where I'd just sort of give a bit of advice and what have you. But it's just such a crazy journey in the fact that it's so unusual. You know, he's obviously had a bit of a stint a couple of times abroad, but has not kicked a ball in English football. And for your first game to play, imagine stepping in, you know, Tottenham Stadium, phenomenal stadium, live on Sky against Newcastle. And this is where I've got to give him so much credit in that, you know, I was nervous watching him. I so badly wanted him to do well. And of course, straight away, Newcastle's on the corners, are crowding him on the corners, trying to put him under pressure, which of course you'd do as the opposing team. But he just dealt with it so well. Like aerially, he was coming for everything, you know, so strong, came for a few really good crosses, punches, catches. Obviously, a couple of really good saves in there, the one down low to his right. Second half, the one-on-one up to his right-hand side as well. No chance on the goals. Just thought in terms of how a debut can play out, you know, obviously the result wasn't what they wanted, but there is only so much you can control as a goalkeeper. But I thought from him to step in where he's waited so long, where Tottenham have turned down 15, 20 loans over the period of the last few years, where he could be sat there now with a couple of hundred championship games, League One games under his belt, literally didn't have that experience to call on and stepped in and looked so calm and composed. You can only give him credit.
Absolutely. It's funny. I was trying to think of similar examples to this that we've seen before, and certainly not in the modern game. I can't think of that many players, goalkeepers who've been at clubs for that long and not had a chance in the Premier League. Sam Johnstone sprung to mind, but then he had the loans before he left Manchester United at what, 25, 26. He'd had the loans previously. Same with Dean Henderson, I guess, similar situation to Sam Johnstone, but he'd had multiple loans. So it's rare that you find a goalkeeper at that age, like I said, turning 26 tomorrow, who's been at one club, only had, you know, a handful of games elsewhere in Denmark and the US in MLS. So, yeah, just a very strange scenario. You don't often see that.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, you could sort of call on like an Emi Martinez, where he broke through at Arsenal, obviously that much later. So that's a good example. However, as you mentioned, Emi Martinez, where did he go? I know he went to Reading and a couple of others from memory. So he did build up a stock of games beforehand. He had a bit of a CV in the market. And I think that's where this is so unusual to get to that age. And credit to him again, where, you know, you think of the amount of managers that have come and gone during that time. It only takes for one manager not to like you, or, you know, one recruitment staff to not like you, and then you might be out the door at some point. And that's what happens with so many, that for whatever reason, you'll see them leave at 23, 24 and then go out and find their way elsewhere. But again, I think where Brandon's so well liked by the club, and they all know how good he is. You know, he's been a bit of a secret for the last few years. So they've never wanted to move him on, knowing how good he is. And at the same time, it's always that same issue. How does he then ever become the number one? Now, what this has done is at least it's kind of alerted people as to what he can do. And it'll be really, I'm really, really curious now to see how it plays out, certainly in the coming week in particular, but certainly back end of the season.
And even more so now, because they've this week announced that they've brought in Antonin Kinski from Slavia Prague.
Yeah, they have, which again, and this goes back to where I'm really curious as to how it plays out, because it was a slightly different dynamic when it's Vicario, Forster and Brandon Austin. You know, come the end of the season, naturally one of them will have to move on. Is that Fraser Forster potentially? Is it Brandon potentially? You know, is it Kinski goes on loan? Is Kinski ready to step in straight away? Is he going to be ahead of Vicario? I doubt that. You know, they obviously really like Vicario. So again, it will be a really fascinating 6 months ahead for Spurs goalkeeping department, I'm sure.
Okay, moving on to Craven Cottage, Fulham 2, Ipswich 2, and Christian Walton. Now, this wasn't his Premier League debut. He was at Brighton for the best part of 9 years, didn't get that Premier League debut, played in the EFL, played in the Cups, but never had a Premier League start. He did bag his first Premier League start on the opening day of the season for Ipswich, but it had been Aaron Murich since then. He was back in for the win over Chelsea over the festive period and kept his spot for the draw at Fulham at the weekend. Thought he acquitted himself well in both.
Yeah, very well. Very, very well in particular against Chelsea, where a couple of the saves he made, the one top hand from Cole Palmer was world class. The faultless performance, really, ever so slightly different to how Murich plays. You know, certainly still looking to play whenever he can. Also, because he's got the ability to go long and go in behind, you know, utilise that. I thought aerially came for four or five really good crosses. I mentioned the saves that he made. And again, against Fulham, I thought it was pretty faultless. You know, the two conceded both penalties. And again, the penalties taken by Jimenez, I mean, they're just unsavable. Like, you know, I know I spoke about this far too many times on the podcast. Old Heide Helgerson used to take penalties against me at Watford, and he must have taken about 50 in training and scored all 50 because they are unsavable. If you've got someone that's perfected the art of watching the goalkeeper, you know, ultimately, if the goalkeeper moves, they put it the other way. If the goalkeeper doesn't move, they've got the ability just to then pass it in the corner. And if you haven't moved or you haven't taken that, you know, that step, you've got no chance of getting in the corner. So, you know, it's frustrating that that was the penalty taker in the last minutes. You did just think, oh, is there a chance of him being a hero here? But yeah, like I say, they really, for me anyway, they are unsavable penalties unless the taker, you know, makes a mistake, puts it wide or doesn't quite find the corner. But no, I thought in terms of his performance, really good save down low to his right first half, just very controlled in his movements, set well, got down quickly, but more importantly, it was the area that he parried, just a really strong parry into a good area. And elsewhere, again, just very solid in terms of his other goalkeeping movements.
And the last of the debutants to mention is Jakub Stolarczyk of Leicester City. Now, he joined Leicester at 17 years old. He's now 24. He made his Premier League debut on Boxing Day against Liverpool. He's been in for the last three now. They lost 2-1 at the weekend to Aston Villa.
Yeah, again, it's huge for him. Now, he has had a bit of game time elsewhere, but it's fair to say it was quite a bit lower down. So to then make the step up, and you know, I've seen quite a bit of the footage of him over the last week or two. And again, impressive. You know, I think we're seeing a lot of this with a lot of these, and he is still so young, but younger goalkeepers stepping in. And you asked me earlier about, you know, my debut, and so much of it is obviously the mentality. Because when you think about it logically, and you literally have millions, if not billions, around the world watching you, you know, it can get into your head a bit. You can be nervous. And certainly if you haven't got experiences to call on where you've had similar situations before, you are effectively stepping into the unknown. And again, it's so nice to see that he's had that opportunity. And although the results haven't necessarily gone the way that they would have wanted him to go, you know, from his point of view, certainly plenty of positives.
And last night at Molineux, Wolves 0, Nottingham Forest 3. Matt Sells saves from Rodrigo Gomez and Jakob Strand Larsen. He's, how best to describe Matt Sells? I'm not going to say he's proving a lot of people wrong, but I'm going to say that he's surprising people perhaps this season.
Yeah, I'd go with that in that he's kind of gone under the radar to an extent. But the more and more that I'm seeing of him, the more impressed that I am with him. And I thought he was excellent in this game. You know, obviously 3-0 scoreline, which, yeah, fantastic for Forest. But key saves at key moments and big saves. And I almost felt like he maybe didn't necessarily get quite as much credit as he deserved from the commentary team on the saves. Because, you know, the first one point blank, positionally very good. But even the set position, you know, he does have quite a low set position ordinarily. But again, kind of realises the moment. He's a bit more upright for the first one in particular. The second one, the speed of reactions where he does have a low set position. This has been fired high. Ordinarily, that can be a bit of a difficulty when you are that bit lower to get yourself up when it's going into the roof of the net. But the speed at which he got up and got a hand to it, phenomenal. And then I thought arguably the best save was the one towards the end where it's taken a little deflection to his left. Again, that low set position, but so explosive to get to his left-hand side. Big left hand to put it around the post. And yeah, I thought this is another top performance. I do feel like now, I say he's sort of been under the radar, but his name is now starting to come up a bit more, which naturally does happen when a team's doing as well as they are. But it's fair to say he's been one of the standout performers.
So I know we've spoken about this hundreds of times, but every so often you still feel the need to comment on some of the basic commentary that we hear straight at him. It's so commonplace and we're used to it. It is just what it is. But when you actually consider what actually is straight at him, it's just such a short-sighted comment. the speed, the power, the velocity in which that ball is going straight at him, it's just, it prompts incredibly quick reactions, doesn't it? Just incredible, absolutely incredible. To the average Joe, that ball is either whacking them in the head or flying straight past them. And I understand, yes, they're not the average Joe and they are Premier League goalkeepers. And yes, technically, it is straight at them. But that doesn't make a save like that any less impressive at all.
Yeah, well, and you actually, again, going back to thinking about it logically, there is an ultimate and like an optimum position for a goalkeeper at any given time. So when a shot's coming in, of course, if you get your positioning right, you're giving yourself the best possible chance of making the save. And ultimately, percentages would suggest that the ball's going to go where you are. If you've got your position right, there are going to be a lot that you'll have that classic comment straight at him. Well, that's again because he's positionally bang on. If he was a foot either side or wasn't quite bang on, then you know they're lauding it for being a fantastic header, a fantastic shot, or whatever it might be. So yeah, it does frustrate me when I hear that, because again, that's thousands of hours of practice to actually really hone your craft and be in that right position at the right time. And then when it comes to the speed of reactions, again, that is those thousands of hours of work that you do, you know. And it's not just the technical work you do on the field, it'd be all the stuff you do in the gym, the reaction training that you do to be able to move that sharply so quickly. It's, as you say, it's something that very few people on this planet can do.
And two final bits in the Premier League. Firstly, Bart Verbruggen for Arsenal's opener in the 1-1 draw between Brighton and Arsenal. Ethan Nwanieri scoring that one. And Rasmus Højlund, the latest striker with a case of Alissonitis.
Yeah, classic Alisson. Timed it really well. 1-on-1, came out, and again, point of impact. He's in a really good position, makes himself big. Yes, you know, he's a master at the certainly 1-on-1s and so many other things. And Bart Verbruggen, yeah, one he'll be frustrated with, I think, for the fact that you watch it again. It doesn't help him that the ball's kind of bent into him ever so slightly, because he's obviously gone with his hand, and I think he soon realises that it's right in that corridor between hand and foot. And in hindsight, that is a save that ideally you make with your foot. But again, we say it, these things happen so quickly. And of course, as soon as it's struck, he's thinking, I can get my right hand down to this. The moment it bends in ever so slightly, it ends up sort of grazing his foot as it goes in, you know, whereas if it had just gone with his foot, I'm sure he gets a big firm foot and keeps it out. You know, it's certainly no error, but it is one that I'm sure he'll look at and be a little frustrated by.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All of mine shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where there was a humdinger of a clash at the MKM Stadium. Hull 3, Leeds 3. So Ivor Pandor caught playing out for Leeds his third goal, just as Freddie Woodman was actually for Oxford's opener in their draw at Preston. But Ian Melier, the man feeling the heat at the moment. So plenty of stick for the Frenchman for the first and the second goals. And it just feels like there's a bit of a narrative forming among Leeds fans, who it's safe to say are up there probably with the most vociferous on social media.
Yeah, you know, and look, he will be frustrated by both, I'm sure. You know, the first one where it's that tricky one. You obviously take an advanced position. You're wanting to cut things out of source. When the ball's been played through, the thing was, it was never ever that far away from the striker. You know, it's that one. Sometimes it's more difficult when it's head on and you think, I can get there first, and you end up colliding with them, or they tow it past you and we see so many red cards, or where they just go around the keeper and knock it in. I think with this one, where it was kind of played almost diagonally, but the striker was always in control, of course the decision at that point would be to then drop, turn it into a one-on-one situation, give yourself a better chance. But effectively, by being 20 odd yards out, can't use his hands, but makes the decision for the attacker, and it's not too difficult a finish in the end. And then the next one, I think it reminded me a little bit, was it Jordan Pickford, wasn't it, where it kind of drops on the bar. The difficulty with this is almost how slow it's going. You know, if it's dropping at a bit more of a height, or it's going a bit quicker, then, you know, ordinarily you just palm it over. It's just one of them that you take the safe option, and you get the classic comment from the commentators saying that you're taking no risks or what have you. That would be the play. But I think where it's so slow, he's obviously thought, I can hold this. He's then sort of collided with the bar to an extent, which has forced him to drop it. And of course, the guy's there just to tap it in. So it's unfortunate because it's the worst of all worlds. But of course, it is one that he'll certainly hold his hands up to. And then to touch on Panda and Woodman, I actually watched the game with Freddie Woodman. And you got to give some credit to the attacker here, in that Freddie Woodman has obviously seen the pass. And at the point at which he's about to pass, it is on. If he can kind of, you know, come back on himself and kind of put it into that midfielder, and they would have been out. But the players read it so well. And just as he's about to pass it and he puts his head down, you can see he makes a quick movement. And of course, he's able to intercept, and it's a good finish. But naturally one that Freddie Woodman will be disappointed with. And the Panda one was just a bit strange. It was almost a little bit of panic. You could see where he's gone to play, wasn't on. So turns back out, sees his other player there, and he thinks, right, I'll give it to him. And the lad's made the smallest movement, which has made him think he can play it in front of him. The lad then takes a half a step back, and of course he literally gifts it to the opposition player, who then, credit to him, it's still a really good finish from there. 2-3 touches, fires it in the corner, and a really frustrating one for him.
It was a case of the back-ins in the Championship as well. Conor Hazard earning his spot at Plymouth. A back-in for Dan Grimshaw for the past three. First cleaner of the campaign at Stoke 2. Tom Glover has been in for Middlesbrough following Sol Brin's injury on Boxing Day. So that's three games for Glover now. 5 points, one conceded. It was one apiece with Cardiff at the weekend. Jack Anik impressing at the other end in that one. And Oliver Dovin back in for Coventry. So he played the first six. Ben Wilson then came in for three. They lost one, lost. He then suffered a knee injury. So Dovin was back in for five. Lost, drew, 1-1, lost. Then Bradley Collins came in for eight. 1-2, drew three, lost three. But Dovin has returned for the last four. 1, drew, lost.
Yeah, hokey-cokey keepers.
Mm.
It is interesting to see how it's playing out there, which, again, effectively, they've got three number ones. You know, we talk about it quite a lot, where it's very difficult in that, you know, I suppose some would say that's a real positive. You've got three vying for the spot. That's how it should be. But again, from a goalkeeping perspective, I'll still always prefer the 1-2-3 dynamic. And that's not to say that the two's happy being a two, the three's happy being a three. You've still got that competitiveness within. But it's more a case of just knowing that when you're stepping in, there's so many examples at the moment where lads are being given their chance. The last thing you want is to think, one mistake and I'm out, because naturally you do then play slightly differently. It's with a different energy. Whereas at least if you know, right, I've got the back in here, it's mine to lose, and you are talking 3-4 bad games on the trot before you lose your place, you can express yourself in a slightly different way. So it's not a particularly pleasant situation there. But a couple of the other names you mentioned, Tom Glover, big credit to him, because, you know, I think he's stepped in. He's a really steady goalkeeper from what I can see. You know, some really nice attributes, very calm in terms of how he operates, and certainly he's stepped in and done very, very well. And a big well done to Conor Hazard. You know, I know they haven't kept many clean sheets at all this season, but again, stepped back in, had an injury that's kept him out for a period of time, but to go away to Stoke, made a really good save to his left, looked really comfortable, I thought, throughout, and just really solid, which, you know, with respect to Plymouth, you can't say that too much about Plymouth this season, but you hope for them and you hope for him now that he's back in the groove, but you hope for Plymouth this might give them something to build on.
And finally, in the Championship, it was quite an uneventful game between Blackburn and Burnley. But there was a 16-minute period in the second half where Ainsley Pearce, the Blackburn goalkeeper, didn't touch the ball at all. That was directly after Burnley has scored. I thought that was quite an extensive period of time. And Watford losing at home to Sheffield United, just mentioning this because of a freak injury to Dan Backman while making a save in injury time.
Yeah, and it was a good save from Backman. I've watched it a few times. I still can't quite figure out what he's done or how he's done it. And I think the news has come out that he will be out for a period of time. So it's obviously a nasty injury, and you could tell he was in some distress as he's gone down. But yeah, just a strange one in that often you can see if, you know, you've your legs collapsed under you or something's happened, and you can kind of gauge how an injury's happened. But this, fired in at the near post, looks like he explodes well to his right, makes the save, but instantly goes down, and you can tell he's done something. So of course we wish him all the best, and again it'll be an interesting situation at Watford. You know, Jonathan Bond's done excellently whenever he stepped in, so no doubt he will take the reins. See that Miles Roberts, who's performed really well up at Partick, I believe he was due to go to the SPL, I think he'll now return to Watford, so it'll be fascinating to see what happens there.
Scottish Premiership, Richard, but I'll allow that on this occasion. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Does nobody refer to it as the SPL anymore then?
Well, it's the Scottish Premiership. It's not the SPL. So that's not even a point to be made. It's like calling the Premier League the Premiership. That's not what it's called.
Okay. But I can call it the EPL.
Well, I mean, you can, but that's horrendous.
Okay. Anyway, we're done with the EPL. I think we're on to League One now, aren't we?
We are on to League One, yes, where Northampton's Nick Zanev made two good saves in a 1-0 win over Burton. It was 0-0 at the time. Header from Ruman Burrell and a volley from Jack Armour. So a big win there for the Cobblers, thanks to their Kiwi stopper. It was goalless between Charlton and Reading. Ashley Maynard-Brewer with a good one-on-one stop with Sam Smith after the restart, and then Joel Pereira, good instinctive stop soon after from Lloyd Jones. It was also goalless, not that many goals in League One this weekend, also goalless between Lincoln and Stevenage, and also good displays at either end. George Wickens with an excellent stop from a Cole Piergiani header, and a Nick Pope-esque thwarting of Tyree Simpson. Really liked that save. And Murphy Cooper denying Tom Bayliss and Jack Moylan at the other end. Ben Hinchliffe with a penalty save from Lee Gregory. However, Stockport falling foul of a 2-1 defeat to Mansfield at home. And can we have the goalkeeper assist klaxon, please? Joe Whitworth teeing up Dimitri Mitchell as Exeter took the lead against Bolton. They did, however, concede goals in the 88th and 91st minute to end up losing that one. And Ben Killip, performance of the weekend for Barnsley, 7 saves. They beat Crawley 3-0. Pick of the bunch with practically the last touch of the game. It was a junior Quaterna shot, deflected. I think safe to say that this was a world-class stop.
Yeah, I think we have to start with Ben Killip. You know, since stepping back in, been so solid for the whole, and then now several standout performances, and this was certainly one. I always keep quite a close eye on flash scores, like on a Saturday, obviously all the scores popping up. It's my favourite time of the week, actually. Kind of, you know, you're watching the games, got Soccer Saturday on, got a few games on, got flash scores kind of telling me what's going on. And I did see that he got a rating of 7.9, which is obviously very good, but when I've seen it, that's only a 7.9. I do wonder what you've got to do to get an 8+, because I thought he was excellent. That save in particular, last minute deflection back on himself, the speed at which he got back down to his left, very, very good. And Barnsley are certainly flying high. And to mention a couple of others, Nick Zanev, huge win and clean sheet for them. A big save down to his right, very good save mid-left as well. And certainly making a claim to continuing to be the number one, even when Burge is fit. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Pereira doing very well for Reading. And this is a good save, this, for the fact that low down on his line, so difficult to hold on to this, but he managed to keep hold. Otherwise, no doubt it would have ended in a goal. George Wickens, you mentioned the Pope S save. I love this for the fact that we talk so often on the pod about great reactions, you know, big saves, great reactions. It's the fact he didn't react at all. You know, it just hit him. He was a brick wall. Literally, even after it went, nothing. You know, it just hit him and he allowed it to go to safety. But a couple of big saves in this, certainly the tip over as well. Very good save from Hinchliffe from the penalty. Just read the situation really well. Good parry and another strong performance.
And finally, in League Two, just three quick ones to mention. Grimsby goalkeeper Jordan Wright, double save from Anthony Sarcevic and Bobby Poynton. He did keep Bradford at bay for much of that first half, but eventually succumbed to a 3-1 defeat. James Belshaw with a kind of hang punch in Harrogate's away win at Barrow. Enjoyed that. Always like to see something slightly different. And Ben Amos, there's a name we haven't mentioned for quite some time on the podcast. A first half save from Billy Sharp. Back in, well, not back in for Port Vale is Amos. That's a big call with Connor Ripley going out. They were without a win in seven. He came in on New Year's Day, a draw and a win. It was his first EFL app since April 2023.
Yeah, great to see Ben Amos back. And you mentioned this was probably save of the weekend in League Two. Really good save this down to his left. So sharp, which again, when you haven't played for a while, sometimes that can take a bit of time to come back, getting up to the pace of the game. But no, really sharp down to his left. Enjoyed the double save from Jordan Wright. First one where he's come and narrowed the angle, made a really good save with his feet, but just the speed again at which he got up, got himself across, and just read the situation, put himself in a really good place. Really good second save, and once again, lots of top performances in League Two. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, so the bad news is that I actually have charged my other phone, so it sounds like this is on me this week. That's right, it is time for Clean Sheet Club. Quite a lot of clean sheets this week, which is great, but it does just mean I've got to read out a lot of Matt's nonsense. We'll start in the Premier League. Mark Travers, Mark 1. Mark Flecken, Mark 2. Matt Sells, Prem leader. Into the Championship, James Trafford. One off a siren. Victor Johansson, hat-trick. Connor Hazard, account opened. Max O'Leary, 3-4. Anthony Patterson, stroke of father. Into League One, Nick Zanev, 100% in 2025. Josh Griffiths, gas baggy. Ben Killip, maybe it's because he's a Londoner. Ashley Maynard-Brewer on the Joondal up and up. Joel Pereira, five alive. Jacob Chapman, another Aussie. Dylan Phillips, back to back. Josh Keeley, what a remarkable record this young man has got. George Wickens, as far as first seasons go. Murphy Cooper, one off the siren mark two. Ryan Alsop, 7-9. Arthur Okonkwo, returning to the fold. And into League Two, Alex Bass, Robin beating Magpie. James Belshaw, first since October. Billy Krellin, you bet. Matt Young, sound the siren. Six on the spin. Luke McGee, about time too.
Well, I don't know what all the fuss is about, Richard.
Well, I mean, I've read a few things there without actually knowing what I was reading or what you were going on about. Just explain the Ashley Maynard-Brewer one to me on the Joondal up and
yes,
up.
Yes, he is from a town in Western Australia called Joondal up in Perth, which I've actually been to. As it goes, resided there for a couple of months, incidentally. But yes, that's where he was born.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that absolutely nobody understood that. If anyone did, actually, do write in, because that's, again, there's a few more in here that are probably quite similar to that, where that is so niche, knowing but the hometown.
Yeah, but it's just a pun, isn't it?
On the no, it's very up, good. On it's the very, very good. It's like, it's so detailed. I actually do enjoy that. But at the same time, my point is, I bet people listening to that is, what the hell is, what does he mean? Joondal up and up. And then you've now explained it. It now makes complete sense. It's incredibly intelligent and I like it for that reason. At the same time, I bet when I read it, there was not a single listener that knew what I was talking about.
Okay, well, that's all part of the fun, isn't it, Richard? Shall we do the table?
Let's do the table.
So there's been a bit of change over the festive period, which we like to see. So top of the pile now is James Trafford with 16 in 25. Michael Cooper's just slightly below him, 14 in 24. And then we have Murphy Cooper and Ian Melier on 13 each. Cooper in 20, Melier in 25. And a quick nod for Josh Keeley, 10 in 14 for the Leyton Orient goalkeeper on loan from Spurs. So that is very impressive. But before we go, Richard, I just thought I would introduce some very basic stats because we are at the halfway mark now. So I'll give you some most saves made and saves percentage.
Please do.
So in the Premier League, most saves. In fact, I'll ask you, most saves in the Premier League, who do you think?
I know this because it popped up on Sky Sports News not so long ago. And it's now gone out of my head. But go on. I know Sanchez is in the top like four, I think. But go on. Who is top?
Top is Mark Flecken.
I did know that. Yeah.
Yep, with 87. So that's 22 more than Muric in second spot. You mentioned Rob Sanchez. He's top of the pile for save percentage at 78.6%. That's the joint fifth most shots faced. Obviously, with these, we can't always read too much into them. But I think with Sanchez being there and Flecken being there, that's yeah, that's quite telling. In the Championship, most saves made?
Most saves made in the Championship. Go on, hit me.
Quite a simple one, really. Victor Johansson, 97. He's had the most shots faced. So that's one of those obvious ones. But a note for Ainsley Pears, fourth in that list with 80. He also has the second highest save percentage with 80.8%. James Trafford, top of the pile there. But that's least number of shots faced. 85% save percentage for Trafford. League One, most saves made.
League One most saves made. Again, go on, hit me.
Josh Griffiths with 89. Again, most shots faced. But interestingly, Arthur Okonkwo, Murphy Cooper, Dylan Phillips and Ryan Allsopp make up the top five for save percentage. That's 15 plus games. And League Two, most saves made.
Oh, challenging me now. No, go on.
You got nothing, not just one name.
I've got nothing. My brain is fried today, Matthew. I'm not going to lie. You've said all these and I thought, oh, I knew that. And I'm going to do the same again here, aren't I?
Alex Bass.
Okay, yeah. But you know what? That is surprising because they were, I know they've just dropped, but they were second in the league, weren't they, until I think the last game.
But incidentally, second most shots faced in League Two. He's also 79.2 for save percentage, technically in top spot for the amount of games played. But in League Two, the only difference here is that it's all about those with under 15 games so far. Because in the top five, you have Joe Day, Will Stanway, Gabe Brees and Matt Young, who from his eight games so far has a 95% save percentage.
Wow, that is ridiculous, Matthew. How long that lasts, we shall see. I really hope it does, though. But he has certainly made a huge impression at Salford and very much on the map now.
Some better stats coming up in coming weeks. But for now, that is it. Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers.
Wait.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.